Good morning. Let's see. This is April 2nd, 2023. We're continuing our study of the healing seminars, soon to be known as New Dimensions in Healing, because we went through this book and edited. It needed a lot of editing. There was typos, misspelled words, misheard words. And so Susan, God bless her, went through it word by word. And the new edition is coming out. It's available on Amazon, called New Dimensions in Healing. And we can throw these away. All right, we're on class number 3, The Mirage of Me. If you haven't done it yet, close your eyes and have a meditation. Pause this talk and become still. Let there be an absence of me. Attain the silence, and I will be there. Herb says, we are about to commence looking at the Christ in a different way. The only thing wrong is always in our visible life. The invisible remains calm, peaceful, contented, and divine. And now, when you become aware of that, you make an inner decision, not so much to make the visible more perfect, but to live in the invisible, which is already perfect. Can you live in the invisible? This chapter is all about how to do that. He says you're eventually going to drop the illusion, and there will be left the perfect life. Now, let's look at Christ, who had already done all this. And he hears about a boy. The boy was born blind. And his disciples come to him. They want to know, did the father or mother sin? Or was it a karmic experience from a previous life? Christ thinks about it a moment, and then he tells them, this boy didn't suffer a karmic experience, and the parents didn't sin. They haven't been punished by God. This situation is entirely different than you know about. He says, but I'll tell you one thing you want to know. God gave this boy vision, and there's no power on earth can take it away. So it's still there. At the very foundation of creation, this boy had spiritual vision, and it's still there. The qualities of God are in you, but they never change, and they're never impaired. They will always remain. If you live 500 more lifetimes in 500 different bodies, you will still have the same perfect qualities given to you before the beginning. But that isn't possible. say the disciples. This boy doesn't see. He never saw anything. And all the people who were there are of the opinion that because the vision of the boy is gone, because science today would say, we can't do anything about it, just as science said then. And the man himself, who was now blind, we never hear much about his thought process. What was he thinking? But in those days, to be blind was to be lower than a rodent. You couldn't see, you couldn't scrounge around for food. You had no status in the community. People weren't happy to see you. You were helpless. And your opinion was worthless. And this man himself had little hope of ever seeing. It never dawned upon him that it was possible. Christ said, there will be a moment of light within you. Christ was the invisible self. Christ was saying things that nobody knew about. They only heard the words of Jesus outside. It's important for you to know that Jesus was made visible to you so that all the activity going on in the Christ of the boy would be heard by you. For instance, whatever Jesus said, if he hadn't said anything, you wouldn't know anything about the Christ activity. But whatever he said was the Christ activity, invisible, outwardly making the statement. So, you get the idea that Christ is always acting inwardly, but there's no channel for Christ to come through to make statements to do anything. That's why Jesus makes the statements, and that's why Jesus is made visible. Jesus is the visible self. Christ is the invisible self. The invisible self, which is always perfect. And that invisible self is you. Now, he says, go and bathe in the pool of Siloam. And the man goes and bathes in the pool of Siloam, and he comes back seeing. He hadn't lost his vision. It was still intact. No one loses anything. You have the opportunity to recoup whatever has seemed lost to you. And because the miracle is not done by a human being, the possibility of that miracle ever remains. To all things you must describe the possibility of being achieved, because to God nothing is impossible. Everything that my life has lost, everything in the degree of perfection that is no longer visible, everything will be restored to you as you rise higher in consciousness. That's the whole secret, rising higher in consciousness. You may say, oh, I've aged so much. I've lost my right ear. I can't hear through it. I don't walk as well. Well, that demonstration was to show you that it doesn't matter who you are or what you have lost. It will be restored, renewed. Yours to use as in the beginning. Yes, I will restore the lost ears of the locusts. If you think something is lost irretrievably, you can stop thinking that. For as the Christ is realized inside you, whatever Jesus performed in the outer was performed by the Christ. All Bible miracles are Christ miracles performed by the invisible Christ. Everything is possible to God. So we must now develop the awareness that as we increase in the ability to know the truth, we will be approached by people who instinctively reach out for your consciousness. We must always remember that the Christ of Jesus did the healings, and the Christ who did the healings is the same Christ who will do the healings when you are called. You must be meek unto the Father. You must be willing. There is no personal thing in healing. It's stepping out of the way knowingly that the Christ can step forward. This next line is very interesting. It bears looking at deeply. You must learn to forgive all the inabilities that you have ever had. You must learn to forgive all the so-called false thoughts that you have entertained, all the false ambition, all the vanity. I am living in spirit. I am the living spirit. I dwell here on this earth, but I am learning to walk invisibly. I'm not going to do it all at once, but I'm going to learn that I am an invisible being. Now, this has to be more than a statement. It must be more than a thought or even a series of thoughts. It must be deeper than a contemplation. It must be deeper than an intellectual agreement. It must be an actual inner experience. I am the living spirit. My true being is invisible. And I must feel in my meditation, in my silence, in my absence of self, I must feel this inner invisible being that I am. And when I feel it, I must rest in it. I must take no thought, but just feel it. Then it is a living realization. And it is from realization that healings take place. You're walking invisibly now. You're learning that your being is Christ invisible. And because you can't live in the invisible 24 hours a day yet, you must practice that because I am invisible, I must live that way for some time during the day. And he says, I know you're going to find it difficult to do. But it's important that for 1 hour a day, you give attention to the fact that you are living where no one can see you. While you're right out front talking to them, doing things with them, participating in government or education or whatever you're doing, you are involved in an invisible activity. You are knowing as much as possible what Christ knows about the kingdom of God, while you participate in the visible world. See, we're living in two worlds. Or so it seems in the beginning. If you do not do this, it'll be difficult for you to learn what Christ does. It'll be difficult for you to be silent and let Christ step forth and perform the miracles. Let us be still now, because I'm feeling that Christ within. He says, now let's say you're living in the invisible world. At first you say to yourself, I'm sort of living as two people. I've got to remember that I'm the Christ, and I've got to live in the invisible world. That's how it seems at first. But after a while you will realize that you're living as Christ in the invisible world. Not as you, but as Christ. And then you won't be separating these bodies into one on the left, which has problems, and one on the right, which is invisible and has no problems. Because the moment you practice living in the Christ body, you will realize that this is my real body and my only body. And now the outer man, the image, the self I have lived in all these years, must decrease, while the inner man, the Christ that I am learning to live, must increase. So, what is the mortal going to do today? He has three meals. He'll go to the office, sign some papers, make some phone calls. What will the Christ be doing? The Christ will be bringing light to your soul, oil from the lamp. I don't know why, but that statement, oil from the lamp, that vibrates inside of me. There's something there. It bears contemplating and meditating. The Christ will be bringing oil from the lamp. He says, deepen now if you can. Feel the stability of your invisible life. We don't have to worry about your invisible life. You don't have to take vitamins for it. You don't have to go to any medical profession for it. It doesn't have to be entertained. It doesn't even live in a day and then another day until there are no more days. You're going to make a transference to that invisible life until you feel it and know it, until you find something in you that is able to voice that invisible life, act from that invisible life, and cohabit with that invisible with the invisible life of others. You'll begin to feel the invisible self of you, while the visible self of you is saying to the patient words of comfort, or words of good cheer, or words of hope, or whatever you do say, even if it's simply that I will be with you. When you turn it over, you turn it over to that invisible self. That's where your healings emanate from. The human of you does not do the healing. That's why the invisible of you must come alive. Now let's see if you can turn your case over to your invisible self. All you can think of and all you must think of is the Christ must be brought to handle this problem. The Christ must be lifted up in me. Then you go to the Christ, to the perfect one, to the one who will not accept an individual as hurting or pained or in some problem area, who sees him as perfect. And now the case is beginning to go out of your hands. And the Christ is saying to you, I am on the scene. Maybe you haven't advanced to the stage where the Christ talks to you, but you feel the presence of something which you have turned it over to, and you're relying on that presence to take it from you. There's not a thing you'll be doing except staying out of the way. Christ does all the work. The patient doesn't enter into it, and you don't enter into it. That makes you a very good healer because you have learned how to live in the invisible. So it's all about making contact with that invisible, internal, immortal, incorporeal self of you. Now the patient may not know it, and the patient may know it, but they're reaching out to your incorporeal, invisible, immortal self within you. But since nothing is ever externalized, they're really reaching to the One, to the infinite, invisible, incorporeal, immortal Spirit within them. It's the One. And when you make contact, when you feel that presence within you, as I am now, they feel it. Because there's only one consciousness. So they feel that upliftment. They feel your realization. They don't feel your thoughts. They don't feel your beliefs. They don't feel your words. But when all of that's set aside, when you're dwelling in the invisible presence of Spirit within you, this they feel. You are learning that you are the Christ while you bring the Christ to Him in the awareness that He is the Christ. The miracle, then, is not accomplished on the human scene. No, there's no God in the human scene, and you can't bring one there. The healing is not accomplished on the human scene. And in fact, it's not a healing. It's a realization. And the realization does not take place on the human scene. It takes place within you, in your hidden chambers, in the secret place of the Most High, where you feel it. Maybe you hear it. Some people even smell it, with the smell of flowers. You're dealing in the spiritual universe of reality. You're opening the door to people who can learn that the Christ in them, because they will learn it ultimately. The Christ in them is a reality, and you're learning that the Christ in you is the real healer and the miracle worker. And therefore you know that now anything is possible to me, because everything is possible to Christ. And so all healings, all revealings take place in consciousness, in the one consciousness. When you touch it in yours, it's touched in his, because it's the same consciousness. Jesus was teaching, as he was always teaching, that we may think we're in a grave, but as soon as Christ is born in us, we stand forth like Lazarus, even though we ourselves may be bewildered by it. What did Joel say? Be wary of truth that is reasonable. And then he said, walking on water, passing through walls, raising the dead, does all this seem reasonable to you? Be suspicious of a truth that seems reasonable. So that's why you might be bewildered by it, because it doesn't make sense. But you see it, there it is. How did my car get fixed in Texas that time? I didn't do anything to it. And interestingly enough, when I got to California, the mechanic there said that the central brain of the car had been fried. It shouldn't have worked. And yet it did. And isn't that the same thing as Joel talking about eyes that could no longer see? And yet, after touching that presence, they saw just fine. Even though the doctor said, that's impossible. They're destroyed. Yet here was a man walking around, seeing just fine. You see, you don't need these physical things like you think you do. You need the contact that will reveal to you within the sight you had before the beginning. So, it's a fascinatingly fourth-dimensional life, isn't it? I absolutely love it. The human of you steps aside, and the Christ steps forth. The Christ does the work. I hope that you have that pounded into you. The Christ does the work. This is so serious a matter, he says, while you're in the process of awakening, that once you decide to bring it out in the open with anyone, you're going to have difficulty. Spiritual work is done in private. And seriously, it's nothing to share with a mortal being. Don't make that mistake. Eventually, there'll be successes more than failures. And when you have tasted what you can do, you will know that you have penetrated the invisible world. And from that moment on, you will be led where you must go. I want to recapitulate in ourselves what it feels like to be the invisible Christ, because it's a new phase of your life that must be undertaken, and will be undertaken by some of us right during this seminar, but some of us at a later date. Even though we may try during this seminar, but we all should know what our future is. Our future is our present brought to light. We are going to have an opportunity to be ourself. That's the first half of this class he gave. Let's take a moment and pause again. Get quiet. Come still and listen, really listen, as if you expect God to reveal something just for you, something that you really needed to hear, but didn't know that you needed it. Listen, listen, listen. Okay, so now he's going to give us some examples. So he says, start with a child. He only looks like a child. There are no children. The Christ has no age, neither 500, 2,000, or a day. So go past the illusion of a child. Take a child that has an appearance of sickness. He's had this infection a couple of weeks, and nothing has helped him. He has to stay home from school. Your consciousness now flatly accepts the child as the Christ of God. Through omnipresence, you're not concerned about the fact that he isn't next door, or he's not in the same city. He's anywhere in the world, but that child and you occupy the same space. To you, you must know, through omnipresence, you and that child occupy the identical space. Because there's one consciousness and you're living in it. Two as one. When you accept the Christ where you are, or where he is, as the one universal Christ, that makes his sickness impossible in reality. And because you believe it makes his sickness impossible in reality, you know that there's no sickness. Of course, you could think this all day with your mind in the world, and it would not outpicture. As you go more into yourself, until you can feel the depth of your own being, well, then it will outpicture. In your meditation, as you come to the depth of your being, and Christ in you awakens, you realize that Christ in him has awakened. There is no boy. Only the Christ is present in him, in you. The work is done. Sometimes it goes just that fast. Healing should be effortless. Healing leaves no feeling that you've got to strive. You've got to push him over into another place. That you've got to do something to take the sickness away. No. Healing is just the Christ recognition or realization. The acknowledgement and the realization that follows. And it's just a matter of being patient. This has been available for centuries. It always is an unusual experience for even the practitioner who's been doing it many times. Yes, it's definitely strange when you're standing to one side and this presence fills your being. He says, I'm sure if you receive this into your consciousness and developed a capacity to face the world with the Christ in you, the world will be very sure to bring all kinds of treasures to your door for your ability to bring this light out where the person seems to be. That's what we're doing. We're not healing anybody. We're bringing this light out where the person appears to be. And so Herb says, I want you to keep trying tonight. I want to repeat this as often as possible. I want the process to be simple, to be understood. So he's going to give another example. You get a call, and it's 3:30 in the morning. The person is dying. You're flustered. Everyone gets flustered when someone is dying, and you start doing all sorts of things. Your mind whirls, and you wonder, what was the principle I was supposed to remember, and all of that. And so he says, just stop a moment. It's always the same. This is the Christ of God, this so-called dying person. What I like to do, this is Bill speaking, what I like to do is when I get the call, I say, yes, I'll help you. I'll go to work right now. And I hang up. And then I say to myself, this is invisible God coming to me for recognition. And so this is what I'm here to do. Realize the Christ in the midst. Realize God invisible. And so I take it from that angle. And it takes me off the person, takes me off of myself, and into a contemplation or a realization of the invisible God. Because that's what it wants. That's why it's coming. So that I will recognize the invisible God, the invisible Christ, standing there. So he says, it's always the same. This is the Christ of God, this so-called dying person. You're seeing something completely opposite than what the world would see. Yeah, because the world would see that body over there struggling to live. You must see the Christ everywhere, omnipresent. And so, yes, you're seeing something different than what the world would see. And you can feel the parent's anguish, the husband or wife or child, this person who's dying. And you are to instantly cool off that opinion with the knowledge that this person is not a person. He never will be a person. He never was a person. And the Christ is not dying. That's number one. Dying as the world conceives it is the loss of life. But the world does not know about the Christ life, which is the life of everyone, and does not die. So he is not dying to you. And if you can, find the capacity to make no judgment about what's happening, to know that Christ is life. You're standing in the secret place. How many times have you stood in the secret place? Well, nothing less than that will do. It's as if you were the boy's consciousness, the dying person's consciousness. You're standing where he would be standing. But you're standing in the secret place for him. The secret place is Christ life. If you're standing there with him in your consciousness, it's the equivalent to him standing there. Through the Christ omnipresent, Christ omnipotent, through your steadfastness and ability to hold your acknowledgement of Christ as the only presence, there can be an alleviation of the problem. You are learning in this moment of concentration on what the facts are. You're learning what can and cannot be done. And someday you'll find that saving life isn't as difficult as it sounds. You'll see that the life is not going, it is not dying. You won't feel this inner pang of futility, which translates into losing the case. It will be a simple matter of realizing impersonally that this is just another problem, like a mathematical problem. And if I don't react, if I know the truth, and if I'm patient, I can be a factor in the release of this man from the belief that he is dying. It'll feel good for all concerned. Now, I know it has to be done before it can be appreciated, but all sorts of strange things are done. When you see these things happen that you had no knowledge of, you have no ability to make it happen, but they do happen, you realize that life can be different if we bring the Christ into the picture. He says that's the hardest part, to have a purified consciousness which you can face these problems with no judgments. Quickly transfer over to Christ and rest in it. And as time goes on, you find a way to transfer over deeper and faster. We're going to heal people, and I hope everything is clear so far, because this is the whole foundation. Now, he says it's like a mathematical problem. If someone comes to you, let's say one of your children or grandchildren, they come to you and say, I need help with this fraction. I don't understand it. And you look at it, and it's 2/4 + 1/3. And you remember from math, you have to make the denominator the same. And whatever you do to that, you have to do to the numerator, right? So you can add them together and then take it down where it should be. For instance, if you have 2/4, you take it down to 1/2. That kind of thing. So do you get emotionally involved? Are you distraught? No, you know what you're doing. So you sit down and you help them see the answer. So this is like a mathematical problem. Eventually, someone says to you, I've just been told that I have... What's a good one? That I have an eye problem. My eyes are degenerating, and I won't be able to see at all in another year. And that's what they bring to you. And what do? Do you get emotional about it? Oh my God, you get all flustered. What am I supposed to remember? What's the truth? If you're handling it like a mathematical problem, you say, oh, okay, I'll help you. Let me go to work right now. You hang up the phone. You recognize the problem. Oh, this is another math problem. And so I'm not here to fix it. If you see on the board, on the blackboard in school, 4 + 4 = 9, you're not there to fix it. You just see that it's a mistake. It's an error. And it's the same with this. This person just presented me with error, but what am I here for? I'm here to bring out the light. I'm here to recognize the invisible God that's right here. And so I am here to feel deeply the Christ within. And I do it. I go within, I get quiet, I release the picture, I release myself, and like he says, you turn it over to Christ and stand to the side. Just stand there, and as the Christ plays on it, you will see your miracle. If you see the Christ, if you are the Christ, your mother never gave birth to you. She gave birth to an image of you that you thought was you. So he says, let's trace our ancestry to God. Call no man your father on the earth, for one is your father in heaven. You see how everything that Christ taught us, we now realize was teaching us to go within and recognize the invisible Christ, the invisible God. He says you've got to be aware of the fact that you have the Christ mind, and you've got to know when to use it. The Christ is interested in activities not of this world. All you've been doing, if you're an average person, is activities of this world. But now, with the Christ mind, you can do activities in the kingdom of God. Remember that your Christ life is perfect, that your Christ life has no beginning and no end, and that you are moving toward your realization that your Christ life is your reality. Slowly but surely, you learn to accept the Christ of your being as a wholeness, and to lessen the human self of you, because it isn't there at all. This is your secret life, secret until you are so confident at it that you care to have other people see it. So for a while, we'll keep our secret life to ourselves. We have the Christ as the fulcrum of our existence, and we look at everybody with the same attitude, the same realization, because we're living in the invisible, and in the invisible, all is Christ. So he says, see if you can learn how to accept Christ in the invisible world, and every person on the face of the earth in the invisible world as Christ. You'll be in such a degree of truth that your transformation will be startling. What we want to do is rest in it until it settles down within our consciousness, so that it is a practical way of life, that we know we have this way of life in the invisible. It is a side of us that is going to enlarge and enlarge and enlarge, but it must be used. Yes, it's like a muscle. It has to be used. Otherwise, it atrophies. Take your hardest problem tomorrow or tonight and look at it. Look at it another way. The hardest problem you know you have to face. I imagine there won't be one or two problems, there'll be 150 different problems. And when you face it quietly within yourself, ask yourself, who has the problem? The answer will startle you, because you know very well you don't have the problem, because you are Christ. Who then has the problem? You have a problem that has been manufactured in the world mind, and you have said, this is my problem. You don't recognize it as an illusion, and it's very real to you. Now turn to Christ. And this should not be thought of as turning to a Christ that is a stranger to you or external to you. You're turning to the Christ of your being, which is all you are, and ask Christ, do you have this problem? No, Christ doesn't have a problem, but I am Christ. Someone else has a problem that I have been accepting as myself. If I am Christ, where is the problem? my continuance in the problem is saying I'm not Christ. By saying I have this problem, I say I am not Christ. Because Christ is perfect without problems. If I say I have this problem, I will continue to have this problem because I'm making an illusion a reality in my consciousness. Now, reverse that. If Christ doesn't have it and Christ doesn't, how can I have it when I am Christ? The problem is the inability or unwillingness to accept that I am Christ. Now face that tomorrow. Face it just that way. And after you've decided that you are Christ, or not Christ, perhaps, the problem will look quite different. So that's an assignment. Face a problem, a major problem. And I'm hoping some of you say, well, I don't have a major problem, I'm Christ. We'll see. So he says, I'll say good night and thank you very much for what I consider to be a perfect opportunity for all of us to make some progress. Thanks a lot. Now, that is class 3. And if I asked you to sum it up, what would you say? What would you write in an essay question? If you don't understand it, you need to go back and look at it again. Because, as he says, that's the foundation for us to work from. So, someone presents a problem to you. I've just been told I have leukemia. It's very serious. I'm going to have blood transfusions from now on. So you say, oh, okay, let me have that now. I'll work on it. And whatever comforting words you need to say. And then you hang up. Now what do? You've got the hot potato. You're holding it. What do? If it were me, I would say something inside myself like this. This is not a person. This is invisible God coming to me for recognition. I do not have to get rid of a problem. I do not have to improve any person. There's no person here. As a matter of fact, I'm not here. So now, Christ, you take over. Show me the invisible God that's right here. Reveal thyself. I will be still. I will listen. I will pay attention. Only Christ is here. And I want to feel that Christ now. So I will be still. I will stop. And in that silence, the presence will announce itself. You don't make the presence. You wait and listen and are receptive, and the presence announces itself. I am here. And you may feel those, you may hear those words, or you may feel the presence. But it will announce itself, and when it does, you rest. I in Christ, and Christ in me. Christ liveth my life, and you let it. Christ. And then you get up and you go about your business. Hopefully you're recognizing wherever you are that where you appear to be, looking outside here, where you appear to be, I am, Christ is, or whatever words come to you. And so you're working with and living with and walking in and recognizing and realizing the invisible as you go about your day. And now the person calls back and says, there's no change. And you say, okay, thank you. And you hang up and you go to work again. What is here? This is invisible God wanting to be recognized. God, I see you, I feel you. Now I go down into the depths of myself, here where Christ is, where only Christ is. Father, reveal thyself. Yes. And I rest in this secret place. No one knows I'm in here. But the one reaching out is touched by the presence which I'm feeling. And we stay with it until it dissipates. Then we get up and again we go about our business. So this is God wanting to be recognized. And you thought it was a person. So do you understand it? Do you see it? Do you see the principles? Can you practice them? Do you feel like you can practice them? If you don't quite understand it, send me an email at iamwithin@gmail.com. Tell me your problem and I'll see if I can explain it to you. But it won't be my explaining it to you that'll make it work. It'll be when you touch that presence within. It'll be your invisible realization. That's what will make it work. Okay, so we are reaching the 1 hour point, and I think I will just say thank you for bringing this out. It was a really beautiful talk with a lot of the feeling of the presence. So thank you. And I love you. Blessings.